I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. You've heard the line, this is your brain on drugs. How about, this is your brain on prejudice? Scientists say they can now prove that the average person harbors prejudices against people of different racial backgrounds, even if they are not aware of it. Of course, that item caught the eye of News and Notes, and so we've called on Siri Carpenter to talk about it. Siri is a science writer in Madison, Wisconsin, and she's been reporting on these findings. Siri, welcome to News and Notes.
Hi, thanks for having me on your show.
How do scientists know for sure that racial bias exists in all of us?
Well, when we think of terms like prejudice or bias, oftentimes we think about the kind of overt bias that we associate with, say, the KKK or the Holocaust. But it turns out that there is another form of bias that all of us possess to one degree or another, which can exist outside our conscious awareness and which gets triggered without our conscious control. Now, because these biases often reside outside of our consciousness, we need to find a way to measure them that doesn't depend on people's ability or their willingness to deliberately reflect on their attitudes.
How do you do that?
And so what scientists do is they have several different methods that they use. And what those methods have in common is that they gauge the speed with which people respond to particular stimuli in a laboratory setting. In many cases, this means showing people a series of pictures or words on a computer screen and asking them to perform very simple categorization tasks and looking at the speed with which people can lump together words or pictures or other stimuli that belong to different categories. And what they're measuring is the strength with which these different concepts are associated in our brains.
Now, you wrote an article that was very interesting, and something in it caught my eye, and I'd like to ask you to respond to it. It's about Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He says in the article, there's a quote, "There is nothing more painful to me," this is Jesse Jackson saying this, "at this stage in my life than to walk down the street and hear footsteps and start thinking about robbery, then look around and see somebody white and feel relieved." Why did you decide to use that statement?
Well, this was a remark that Reverend Jackson made some years ago, and what I was struck by when I read it was that it illustrates a really basic fact of our social existence, and one that even a committed civil rights leader like Jesse Jackson can't escape, and that is that ideas that we may not endorse, for example, the idea that a black stranger might harm us, but a white one probably wouldn't, we may not endorse them, but they can nevertheless become lodged in our minds, and then without our awareness or our endorsement, they can color our expectations and our judgments.
It seems this implicit bias has as much to do with what culture you belong to as it does with what race you were born into. Will a white European, for example, have the same implicit bias toward a black American as a white American might?
Well, that's a really good question. What we do know is that these biases grow out of very normal and basic aspects of human cognition. The way that we categorize others is very fundamental to our ability to make sense of the world. We notice and remember associations between things, but you're right that it will vary by culture. So, for example, as you probably know, although there's plenty of bias everywhere, including in Europe, that bias doesn't tend to be run along black-white lines. There are other forms of bias that tend to be stronger among Europeans. And even within our own culture, we see a lot of variability in the strength with which people show implicit race biases or the nature of the biases that they show. Some people might show a lot more gender bias, but not as much race bias. Some people might show bias in areas of religion or other aspects of ethnicity or bias against handicapped people and not show so much race bias. So we vary in the particulars, but all of us have this really deep-seated capacity for forming biases. And it's partly part of a normal process, but the problem comes in when it runs against what our own values are.
This may seem like a strange question, but can you have racial bias within a single racial group?
I'm not sure if I understand. Are you kind of getting at things like skin color among African Americans?
Yeah, that for example, or...
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite sure how I'm trying to put the question, to be completely honest with you. I'm trying to understand if the same concept of interracial biases, if there's a connection or comparison with biases within a racial group.
Sure. Yeah, that's a really good question. And if you think about these biases as basically just being the accumulation of a little associations in our head, association between the concept black and criminal, for example, and the stronger that those associations become, the stronger the bias that's reflected on these measures of implicit bias. That can happen within a racial group and across racial groups, and it can happen at a really fine gradation. There's some research that shows that people tend to have stronger race bias when they are first primed with images of darker-skinned black people than when they're primed with images of lighter-skinned black people. And so it looks like we categorize within these broad kind of gross groups, race groups, and that can happen in myriad different ways.
Now, we know that this is based on scientific proof. What are scientists or sociologists suggesting that we do with this information?
Well, that's a great question. The psychologists who have been studying this, they feel like they've really established that these biases exist. There have been hundreds of studies now that have demonstrated the existence of these biases. And the question has become, where do they come from? How much do they affect our actual behavior? Do they matter? And if they do matter, then what can we do about it? And in the beginning, a lot of psychologists thought that it might be the case that because these biases form so early and they're so strong and so basic that there's just not much we can do about them. But happily, the research now is starting to suggest that that's not the case, that these biases are more malleable than they had originally thought. So the context within which we think about people of different social groups can affect the strength of our biases. For example, there was one study that showed that when people in a laboratory were shown images of African Americans on a computer screen, when the images were superimposed on a church background, the inside of a church, then people showed more positive attitudes toward blacks than when those images were shown on a dilapidated street corner. So it's kind of the laboratory analog to thinking about blacks in more positive or more negative situations. And those kind of contextual cues have an effect on how we think about the people of other groups in general. There's a lot more research indicating that these contextual effects really matter. And there's also some research showing that efforts to deliberately control our bias can be successful. We have to be careful that they don't backfire, that we don't try so hard that we end up getting nervous and anxious about appearing biased, but that people who are sincerely internally motivated to respond without bias, they can do a good job of curbing, keeping that behavior from exerting itself. But we meet with mixed success in general.
This is very interesting material. Unfortunately, our time is up. Siri, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Journalist Siri Carpenter, her article Buried Prejudice, The Bigot in Your Brain, was published in May in the monthly science magazine Scientific American. Siri joined us from Wisconsin Public Radio in Madison.